Many years ago, when churches would come together once a year, financial campaigns or whatever, and there was always a time when we would say, you know, what can we do to minister to the community, to boost attendance and get people to come to church? And we would sit around and talk about different ideas and something like that. And then one time somebody said, you know, all that stuff that we've done in the past, maybe we got to think out of the box. You ever try to think out of the box? Well, my question for all of us is, as a person, are we half full or do we have a half empty? The other question, do you look at your life in the world with resignation and see hopelessness and problems everywhere you look? Or do you look at your life in the world with rose-colored glasses, refusing to acknowledge any problems at all, so that you can maintain your feelings of contentment and happiness? Well, I think whether we resign ourselves to those situations or find ourselves in or spend the bulk of our time managing life, but still it would leave us a closed system outlook. Both would reveal status quo kind of thinking. Now, Jesus, spiritually, and the different parts that he shared, we look at spirituality. We look at business things, and we look at self-help gurus, and there is a self-help guru by the name of Jay Shetty, and he said that our outlook on life doesn't need to be black or white or predictable. In fact, he said we have a third option, and he called it a possibility mindset. Now, jumping off ideas from possibility thinking, if you remember some of that way back when in the 90s, he was telling us that a mind open to multitude of possibilities acknowledges problems or negativity, but rather than resigning to them or ignoring them, we see a myriad of possible outcomes and scenarios in life. And we might simply call it cultivating an open mind. We had an advertising campaign some years ago, open hearts, open doors, and open minds. Thinking outside of the box meant that we first have to identify our box. Break open that box, step outside of that box in order to get a different perspective on life and the world. It sounds simple in theory, but it's not so simple in practice for most of us, and we wonder why. Why? Because of our acquisition and achievement mindset keeps us conveniently locked up in a multitude of boxes, and they're hard to break out of. You ever hear that old term, rule of thumb? I often wonder, some of the old timers, when they didn't have rulers or something and they wanted to cut something, they would take their thumb from the knuckle to their foot, that's an inch. But somebody came up with a unique thing, and we got standards and measurements and all of that kind of stuff. It measures things, this ruler, and we all know what it is. It tells us how large something is or how small something is, or if we're falling short or how far we need to go. Even into some of these, like the fair, I think the Florida State Fair is coming up pretty soon down there. And if you want to ride some of those rides, if you're a little kid, they got a little statue of a person about this high. And if you were under that, you couldn't get on the ride. If you're over that, you're good to go. So rulers are in the same way. We see a sense and measure of the world. So think about that. We measure other things. We measure time. We measure distance. We measure humidity and clouds, and we measure when we bake. Judy made a dump cake for over there. We're going to eat after a while and enjoy the dump cake. I don't know if she measured anything or not, but she sure dumped a lot of stuff in there. Usually when you're making a cake, you got to be precise with the recipe. So if you're not, you wonder what their life is too when it comes to our faith. We can find it hard to break out of that acquisition and achievement mindset. And yet, this is what Jesus once again challenges his disciples, and we are his disciples, modern-day followers of Christ, to do. When Jesus encountered what we share in the scriptures today, we see a man run up to him and ask, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Don't you just love sentences like this? They're filled with clues and sometimes bad theology, but they set Jesus up perfectly because Jesus is a teacher. This is the teaching moment for Jesus. And Jesus is on the move. He challenges every part of the man's sentence with a couple excellent replies. And the first reply was, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." The man had already revealed that he had a lot of money and a lot of possessions, and the mindset of that was in the first sentence. "How can I attain your level of good?" And what he wanted to know is how I can achieve your status and the status that guarantees me eternal life. The man, being good, he sees good, and his ultimate goal, if he can only reach a certain level of goodness, he would have it in the box, pun intended. Now Jesus points out immediately this fallacy. He said, "No one is good. Only God is good." So remove that goal or endpoint of that right away from your manner of thinking. This, of course, confuses the man right away. And because of that, he leaves. And his end thought was, a goal of good, it also means he had no idea what the goal is or how to get there. Now that reveals the next part of Jesus' answer to the man. So think about this. You totally missed this one. You totally missed the point of giving away statement. What must I do? That statement alone pulls all the power and responsibility for achieving a certain level of good in the hands of the man. Listen, you don't need God in your life if you can accomplish everything good all on your own. You don't need Him. Secondly, it's pretty arrogant to know that, exhausting sounding, to think that if only we do more and more and better and better and better, that eventually we will be able to ding, ding, hit the jackpot, or what I used to call chasing the brass ring. So what did this guy do? Jesus played along with him. Instead of pointing out the fallacy of his statement, as he typically does, he seizes the teaching moment for all of those around him and issues a challenge instead. Hopefully to show the man how pointless and impossible his own efforts are, and what would be the matter of achieving God's favor. Jesus said, "Okay, guy, I'll play with you. So you know the commandments, do you?" "Yep." Caught up in the achievement mindset, the man replied, "Oh, I've kept every one of those." To which Jesus replied, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And the man was shocked. He went away and grieved, resigned to failure, because he felt that he could reach that good goal. But I want you to hear something else this morning. After that man's reply that he had kept all the commandments, the Gospel of Mark recorded that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he replied as he did. Jesus is not annoyed. He feels compassion for the man who is so trapped with his achievement and acquisition mindset that he cannot see the truth. The truth that God's gift for him is free. All he needs is faith. For God desires not perfection, but our relationship. We have a friend in Jesus. I love that song, and we do. Because we have a relationship with the living God through Christ. I think Jesus' disciples didn't get it either. And they're still focusing on the question of faith. Now Jesus goes on to say, he says, "Guys, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." In other words, no human being can accomplish enough goodness in order to achieve God's inheritance of eternal life. You're heirs. No human being will ever come close to God's level of goodness. It's not impossible. It is possible with God, because all things are possible with God. So the disciples replied, hey, then you can be saved. And Jesus agreed. For mortals, it's impossible. But then you ever see those guys, and I never understood what they do, like they're talking and everything, and they want to make a point, and they walk up, and they take the microphone like that, and they drop it, and walk away. I never understood that. But the mic drop would have took place when Jesus was telling them, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Ding, 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 ding. We hit the jackpot again. In other words, no amount of achievement or acquisition will ever help us to measure up to God's deserving grace. So throw away the reward. You don't need it when it comes to God. So the point of Jesus' presence on earth, his sacrifice, his resurrection, God's gift of life, it's a gift. It's grace. And it was never about measurement. It's not about our goodness, but about the possibilities that reveal themselves through putting our faith in God's goodness. Okay, preacher, does that mean that we shouldn't strive to do good things? That's one of those tricky sentences. For it's all about relationships. It's not so much about doing, but about being. Being in love with God. So when we love God and love each other, the possibilities of the kingdom become endless. The heavens open up right before our eyes. For with God, anything is possible, even breaking out of the boxes. That's the reason Jesus is called the liberator. And as disciples of Christ who cultivate a possibility mindset, it's not simply to see endless possibilities that we have for success, but to see endless possibilities for life and how we can have life more abundantly. That's why Jesus came, for life and for the world that comes from the goodness and the grace of God. If that's not a weight off of your shoulders, you need to sit and talk to God a little bit more and say, Lord, I don't understand all that. Can I climb up on your lap and will you talk to me and hold me? And he'll do that. He loves you that much. Now, this is good news. Your inheritance was never up to you to achieve. Your position in heaven, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not true, I would tell you. I like one of the translations said that he goes to prepare a resting place. Because when this life is done, I don't know about you, and I think most of us will be tired. And we're looking for that resting place. And that resting place is to be prepared for what Jesus did on the cross. The death, the burial, and resurrection, and the promise coming in him. He broke that bondage over sin and death. So, it's a gift. Faith. For you to receive. For Jesus, you don't need to be a super successful, high-level achiever. You don't need to be rich or poor, and definitely not perfect. Good. But your greatest potential as a servant of the living God lies first in becoming a humble receiver. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. So, I pray that you receive Jesus in your heart, in your hand. It's a simple prayer for simple people. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. And if you're everything that they say that you are, come into my life and be Lord over it. And you will have unlimited possibilities. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time together. We gather for homecoming and fellowship and breaking bread together as we go to the fellowship hall from here. And I always like to do the blessing before we get over there because there's always so much activity. People love to talk and share and hug each other and all that. So we'll say the blessing over the gathering and the food now. Grace and loving God, we thank you. Thank you for a time of homecoming. Thank you for the gift. And we have too many brothers and sisters that was with us last year that now have experienced their homecoming in heaven. And we thank you for that, Lord. That hope, the joy, the love, and the peace that we have. Looking forward to a time together with family and friends in heaven. But for now, we just need to love one another and break bread. So bless the hands that prepared all that food over there. And bless these bodies that are going to receive it for a physical and a spiritual blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.